Why seek ye the living among the dead? Chapter 91. The same morning, when the watchers had fled to Jerusalem, a few women hurried to the grave. They were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and a few other women. They had provided for the necessities of the Lord Jesus while he walked and preached here upon the earth. And they believed in him. They saw how their beloved master suffered, and they saw how he died. They saw where he was buried. They remained at the grave until the very last. And then they left with hearts full of sorrow. They quickly bought some spices Friday evening, but Saturday, their Sabbath day, they rested. This morning they are on their way to the grave. They want to embalm the body of their master. And that is the last act of love they can do for him. If they had known that the grave was sealed, and the Roman soldiers were on guard there, they certainly would have remained at home. But when the soldiers arrived after Jesus was buried, the women had already left the grave. However, they only knew that the stone was before the grave. While they are on the way, the soldiers had already fled from the sepulchre. In the faint light of the early morning, and they walked towards the grave. Suddenly they say to each other, "Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" Ah, and when they had set out to go to the grave, they never gave that a thought, but now it comes to mind. With their limited women's strength, they never will be able to move that heavy stone. That is work for strong men and not for women. What should they do? Still, they walk onward. But when they come close to the grave, they see that the stone is rolled away. Oh, how did that happen? A frightened thought comes to their minds. Did his enemies break into the grave? Was his body stolen by his enemies? At this sight, one of the women, Mary Magdalene, turns about and returns in haste to Jerusalem to tell the disciples. The other women walk on and soon come to the grave. Yes, the stone is rolled away. They look at each other. Timidly, they approach the open grave and enter into the sepulchre. They frighten exceedingly. For there in the grave they see two angels in shining garments. "Fear not ye," sounds the friendly voice of one of the angels, "for I know that ye seek Jesus." No, they need not fear and tremble as the watchers, because their intentions toward Jesus are friendly. The angel continues, "He is not here. He is risen. Did not the Lord tell you? You must not seek the living among the dead. He is alive." After saying this, the heavenly messenger points to the empty place and says, "Behold, here upon this place he did lie. Go and return to Jerusalem and tell his disciples. Tell Peter also, and that Jesus is risen. Tell them that they must go to Galilee. They shall see him there." This is a joyful message for these sorrowing women, isn't it? Indeed it is. And they still are somewhat afraid, but great gladness fills the hearts of these women. Their master is alive. He is risen. They hurry away. No doubt they leave their spices lay at the grave. They had no need of them now. The disciples sit together in listless discouragement. Their master is dead and buried. They did believe and were convinced that he was the Messiah, the Son of God. But now they draw up their shoulders dejectedly. They do not know. Anxious questionings fill their hearts. Were they mistaken? Has everything been lies and deceit? Deep in their hearts, a voice cries, "No, no." But if they look at the dreadful end, then they again draw up their shoulders dejectedly. Still, they cannot become angry. Ah, it is true. And for a while they were offended with the strange conduct of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. But that is past. Deep sorrow fills their hearts. Tears come in their eyes. Tears of grief. Tears of sadness. However, they are suddenly frightened out of their sad meditations. Mary Magdalene walks in and brings them the tidings that the grave is open, and for the stone was rolled away from before it. Peter and John immediately go out on the road. They must see for themselves. They want to know more about it. Peter runs ahead, driven by a secret unrest. What could have happened to the body of his master? Was it stolen? He runs faster than John, and he is soon ahead of him. But the nearer Peter comes to the grave, the slower he runs. Finally, John catches up to him, runs past him, and in this way, John arrives first at the grave. But why did Peter slacken his speed? You can understand that a little, can't you? Must he who denied his master 3 times run so fast now? Didn't he say he didn't know him? Oh, that accusing voice of his conscience causes him to bow his head shamefully, and involuntarily he runs slower. Still, he does not return, but he walks further. When John comes to the opening of the grave, he stoops and looks about searchingly. He sees the empty place. He sees the linen clothes, but he doesn't see the angels, although they were present. Peter, coming to him, also stoops down, looks, and enters into the sepulchre. Neither does Peter see the angels. When Peter goes into the sepulchre, John follows. Behold, there these 2 men stand in silence. They do not see a disorderly mess. Oh no, the fine linen clothes in which their master was wound by Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus do not lie scattered all around. It is just the opposite. Everything is neatly placed. The linen clothes are wrapped together and lying at the foot end. The napkin which was upon Jesus' head lies neatly rolled at the head end. All this makes a deep impression upon John. We read in the Gospel of John that he saw it and believed. Some say he believed the body of Jesus was taken away. But he didn't have to believe that anymore, for he could see it. Wasn't the grave empty? Others say he believed that Jesus was risen from the dead. And so it was. Shortly after, Peter and John returned to Jerusalem in deep thoughts. A woman is weeping bitterly outside the grave. This woman is Mary Magdalene. Whether she came to the grave at the same time with Peter and John, or whether she came later, we cannot say. She stands there after the two disciples leave. She weeps, warm tears of sorrow. Alas, now that her master is dead, she has lost everything. Formerly, she had been a very wretched woman. In Luke 8, verse 2, we read that seven devils came out of her. But this pitiable woman had been delivered by the Lord Jesus from those unclean spirits. Upon the command of the Son of God, the seven devils had to leave her. Therefore, it is no wonder that she fervently loved the Lord with her whole heart. Now her master is dead, and when she would embalm his body as a last token of love, his body is gone. Her body shakes from sobbing. As she weeps, she stoops and looks into the sepulchre. She sees two angels sitting in white garments. "Woman, why weepest thou?" sounds the question of one of the heavenly messengers. Her sorrowful answer is, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him." She is so grieved, and her eyes are so dimmed by tears, that she doesn't realize they are angels who are sitting in the grave. This does not penetrate her mind, for grief has overpowered her completely. Suddenly, she hears footsteps behind her. She quickly turns about and sees a man standing there. She thinks he is the gardener. This stranger asks her, "Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?" Do you hear that? He doesn't ask, "What do you seek?" but he asks, "Whom do you seek?" He knew that she sought him. Mary Magdalene does not see the look of love which this stranger casts upon her. She quickly answers, "Sir, did you carry the body of my master away? Oh, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." From now on, her life would be empty and miserable without Jesus, who delivered her out of the grasp of seven devils. If only she had his body, it would be something. This stranger is silent for a moment. He knows what is going on in that deep, sorrowing heart. He knows her grief. Then he speaks but one word. With emphasis, he says, "Mary." And then, oh, look, she cries "Rabboni," which means "Master." She falls upon her knees before him and wants to kiss his feet. At once, she recognizes her beloved master. Before, she noticed nothing whatever, but now she beholds her Redeemer and Savior. She came to embalm a dead Jesus, but instead she received a living Jesus. The happiness which now fills her soul cannot be described. She wants to touch his feet and kiss them, but Jesus will not let her. He says, "No, Mary, touch me not." Why isn't she permitted to touch him? Because Mary wanted to have Jesus always with her the same as formerly. But that is not to be. From now on, she must live by faith. The Lord Jesus commands her, "Go to my brethren and tell them whom you have seen." Jesus calls those unfaithful disciples his brethren. They were unfaithful, for they had forsaken him in the greatest danger, but he never forgets nor forsakes his disciples. He remains faithful, He never changes. Behold, she goes to Jerusalem, to the disciples, to tell them of the glad tidings. Meanwhile, the women who were at the grave first have gone a long way toward the city. They are fearful and yet glad. They hurry onward. Do they say anything to those whom they pass? No, they dare not, but they will convey the message which they had received from the angels to the disciples. Suddenly they frighten. Amen. A stranger is standing in front of them in the center of the road. He greets them with, "All hail." They look, and gladness comes upon their faces. They recognize him. This stranger is the Lord Jesus, their beloved master. They fall before him in adoration and holy reverence, and hold him by his feet. They have heard and believed the message of the angels. Now they see their master, who arose from the dead. Jesus also says to these women that they must tell the disciples. This is the second appearance of the Lord Jesus, first to Mary Magdalene at the grave, and then to the women. With eyes beaming from gladness, they soon come to the disciples. "We have seen the Lord Jesus," rings joyfully from their mouths, and the disciples do not believe them. "You have deceived yourselves," they probably said, for we read in Luke 24 that they regarded the words of the women as idle tales. The disciples are so discouraged, and they refuse to believe this joyous message. The women assure them that it is no idle tale, but the whole truth. But it doesn't help. The disciples will not accept it. A little later, Mary Magdalene comes in and excitedly tells them the same. But neither do they believe her. You can be sure that the women and Mary Magdalene told each other what they had experienced. Easter has become a reality for them. The risen Christ has appeared unto them. By faith they now can view him, not only as the Son of God and the King of Israel, but also as their debt-paying surety and Savior. The disciples, with some other followers of the Lord Jesus, sit there with sorrowful, tense, unbelieving faces, listening to these women talk. But they do not believe it. Yet they feel unhappy and sad. The happiness of these women makes them more wretched than they already were, for deep down in their hearts they are grieved. Two of them can no longer listen. Suddenly they stand up and go away. Where are they going? You can read the answer in the following chapter.